April 1975, during the chaotic final days of the Vietnam War, as the North Vietnamese Army closed in on Saigon, South Vietnamese resistance crumbled. City after city and village after village fell to the North, while the few U.S. diplomats and military operatives still in the country contemplated withdrawal. With the lives of thousands of South Vietnamese hanging in the balance, those in control faced an impossible choice. Who would go? And who would be left behind to face brutality, imprisonment, or even death? Directed by Rory Kennedy and airing in conjunction with the 40th anniversary of the fall of Saigon, Last Days in Vietnam premieres on American Experience tomorrow night from 9 to 11 p.m. on PBS. Rory Kennedy is an Emmy Award-winning independent documentary filmmaker, as well as co-founder and president of Moxie Firecracker Films. Her films cover an array of issues ranging from poverty to politics to human rights, even her own family history. It is a great pleasure to welcome Rory Kennedy back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
It's terrific to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. What led you to this particular subject of wanting to look at those last days?
Well, I've always felt that Vietnam is a seminal moment in our nation's history. And I think that as we are struggling to get out of Iraq and Afghanistan, even though these events that we document took place 40 years ago, this is the 40th anniversary this week of the fall of Saigon, that I felt that there was a lot of relevance and there was a timeliness to this story and certainly lessons to be learned from what happened in the fall of Saigon and the struggles we're dealing with today.
You have said, and I find this to be fascinating, that you were at an opening or a screening of one of your other documentaries, and you were approached by someone who said that they had this incredible footage. And of course, you never really know what that's going to be. But what you found was fairly incredible, and quite a bit of it makes its way into the film that will be presented tomorrow night. Talk a little bit about that footage and how it was a catalyst for this project.
Well, that's right. I wouldn't say it was a catalyst because I was developing the film already, and I had identified a number of the stories that we wanted to include in the film, many of which ended up being documented in this footage, Super 8 footage that was in, the guy's name was Dan Lucero. He was on a ship in the South China Sea, USS Kirk, when these events unfolded. And it turned out that he documented many of these events that I had known about, wanted to include in the film, had included in our treatment, in fact, but didn't know we had footage for. And he had gone up into his attic about 4 months prior to this and come across a box of Super 8 footage that had never been transferred before. He didn't know what was in it exactly, and I ended up flying him out to L.A., where I'm based, and we transferred the footage, and it was a treasure trove of these really extraordinary stories, and I think his footage really helps transport audiences back to Saigon 40 years ago.
You point out the film is really very well done and very well documented. It is presented without narration, which I assume was a decision from the very beginning.
Yeah, it was a conscious choice. It was certainly something that from the outset I wanted to do. I didn't know if we would be able to pull it off. It's obviously difficult to make a film that of such a complex moment. We've got a lot of different characters in the film. You know, it was certainly probably one of the more challenging aspects of making this film. But I think in so doing, you know, you really stay in the moment of April 29th, 1975, as these events unfold. You know, people say it feels like a thriller. It's kind of a ticking time clock scenario, what's going to happen next. And you're never taken out of that with the voice of narration or an expert saying, well, this is what actually happened, or they didn't know this was going to happen. You kind of find out, as characters find out, what events are unfolding.
You point out, and I think it's interesting because you can look at this as a film of the huge screw-up, the miscalculations, if you will, on the part of the U.S. government, on President Ford, on the ambassador to South Vietnam, Graham Martin, as well as Secretary of State Henry Kissinger. But as you say, you believe that it's really a celebration of the people to the people who were on the ground, who did everything possible to get as many people out as possible.
I think that's right. I think the film ultimately takes an unflinching look at, you know, the fact that the U.S. government ended up abandoning our allies, the South Vietnamese, in this moment of history. But in that kind of wider and larger context, it tells the very specific stories of these Americans who and South Vietnamese who were really quite heroic during these moments, and they stood up and they did the right thing, and they you know, really tried to do their best to help and save as many South Vietnamese as possible.
We meet at the very beginning of the film Stuart Harrington, who was the officer who promised those at the U.S. Embassy that they would all be transported out. Talk a little bit about Harrington, and it's such an emotional way, really, to start the film and the story that he tells.
Well, he, in the beginning of the film, talks about how, you know, there was so much pressure on the ambassador to try to greenlight an evacuation. It was pretty clear to most people in early April, if not sooner, that Saigon was going to fall. And but the ambassador was reticent to do so. He had a son who had been killed in Vietnam. He was very, committed to the idea of saving and preserving South Vietnam, and he felt that an evacuation might cause panic and be a sign that the country was falling. And so Stuart Harrington, along with a handful of other people on the ground, started a black ops where they, under the radar of the ambassador and other officials, were busing people undercover into the airport, hiding them onto airplanes, getting them out of the country, doing what they can. His story evolves, and it becomes interesting because Stu Harrington ends up in the embassy where they're trying to get thousands of people out during those hectic moments, during those last 24 hours. There were thousands of people in the embassy. They got the majority of them out, but early in the morning of the 30th, they called off the evacuation, Washington, D.C., and there were still 420 Vietnamese inside the embassy. Stuart Harrington was then in the position of having to assure those 420 people, knowing that he was leaving, that they would get out. He spoke fluent Vietnamese. He reassured them. Then he surreptitiously walked to the back of the embassy, up the back stairs, and out on one of the final helicopters out of the country. The door was open of the helicopter as he flew out, and he looks down and he thinks about how absolutely wrong this was and how horrendous this moment is and how it felt to him like a microcosm of the entire Vietnam War in a nutshell, where promises are made and promises are broken. And, of course, he's on the front lines of that decision and has to live with that moment for the remainder of his life, which has really haunted him. We ended up interviewing in the film one of the 420 people left behind, Binh Pho. We had this great moment, actually, at when the film premiered at the Sundance Film Festival, where both of them were on stage. And Stuart Harrington talked about how tortured he was by this moment and how guilty he felt. And Binh Pho took the microphone and said, "Stuart Harrington, I want you to know I forgive you for what you did." It was really beautiful, and there wasn't a dry eye in the house.
I bet. And he says, as Harrington says in the film, living in not daily dread for the past 37 years, but living in perpetual dread of having to face one of them someday. And that was Binh Pho, who ultimately was also thankful because he knew that Harrington was responsible for getting his girlfriend out, right?
Well, actually, he was grateful because he was with another girl then, and they ended up breaking up. But he feels that had they both gotten
love's out, complicated, isn't it? Yeah.
Instead, married somebody else who he's very happy with.
There we go. All right. All comes full circle.
It's a love story.
So, what do you think we learn from this of 40 years? We look at this, we look at where we are now, and I think it's impossible, at least it was impossible for me to watch this film and not think to ourselves, my God, it seems like we could learn a lot from this in our future diplomatic issues, but maybe we didn't.
Well, I think that is true, that we haven't really learned the lessons of Vietnam. And I think that, you know, one of the big lessons here is recognizing how, you know, there's the timeline of a war, but then there's the aftermath and what happens to the people who worked with the U.S. government. We profile a man named Dam Pham in the film. The Americans get out during these last hectic moments, but people like Dam Pham who worked with the U.S. government, who had been assured by the United States that we would protect him, we would look after him. He was left behind and spent 13 years in a camp doing hard labor. You know, so I think that it's important to think through our responsibilities, not only during the course of a war, but in the aftermath, particularly to our allies and those who have worked closely with us, and because of that association, face even greater vulnerability.
The film is directed and produced by Rory Kennedy and airing in conjunction with the 40th anniversary of the fall of Saigon. The film is Last Days in Vietnam. It premieres on American Experience tomorrow night from 9 to 11 on PBS. 9 to 11 on PBS. Rory Kennedy, a great pleasure as always to have you on the program. Thank you very much for joining us this morning and best of luck with the work.
Nice talking with you, Joe. Thanks for having me.
A great pleasure. Thank you. Again, Last Days in Vietnam premieres on American Experience tomorrow night from 9 to 11 on PBS. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.